Good morning, and welcome to Simply Space. It's Monday, April 1st. On today's show, scientists cook real good drugs in space and then send them back to Earth. SpaceX successfully launches two missions from Florida's Space Coast. Plus, we explore the intersection of fine cuisine and fine art in the Diamond E Collective in Rapid City. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Space. We start off with an intriguing update from Varda Space Industries, a company aiming to manufacture life-saving drugs in space, which has shared the results from its first in-orbit manufacturing stint. The company's goal is to autonomously manufacture pharmaceuticals in microgravity or within Earth's orbit, with the aim of reducing the cost of life-saving drugs. Here to discuss this further is Celeste, a correspondent for Simply Space. Can you tell us more about this mission, Celeste?
Certainly, David. The mission, dubbed W-1, involved sending Varda's hardware into Earth's orbit, where it would then autonomously manufacture therapeutics. Varda Space sent a capsule into Earth's orbit, and it remained there for 7 months. When it returned back to Earth's surface on February 21st, the capsule contained the life-saving HIV/AIDS medication ritonavir.
That's fascinating. So the idea is to manufacture these drugs in space?
Yes, that's correct. The idea behind this process is to reduce the cost of life-saving drugs. Manufacturing pharmaceuticals in microgravity has been explored before with astronauts aboard the International Space Station and other testing via parabolic flights. However, Varda Space plans on making the process much more affordable with uncrewed capsules that will be designed to be mini factories and the re-entry vehicle.
And what does this mean for the future of pharmaceutical manufacturing?
According to the paper published by Varda Space, by providing a detailed experimental data set centered on survivability, they pave the way for the future of in-space processing of medicines. This could enable the development of novel drug products on Earth and benefit long-duration human exploration initiatives.
Thanks for that report, Celeste. Speaking of exciting developments in space, SpaceX has successfully launched two missions on Falcon 9 rockets from Florida's Space Coast. The missions involved the EUTELSAT 36D and 23 Starlink satellites. This marks 260 reflights of Falcon boosters since the first one 7 years ago. Here to discuss this further is Bella, a correspondent for Simply Space. Can you tell us more about these missions?
Certainly, David. The EUTELSAT 36D mission was launched from Launch Complex 39A at the Kennedy Space Center. Its goal was to reach a geosynchronous transfer orbit. This was the 12th launch of the first stage booster, which has supported a OneWeb launch, O3BM Power, and 6 Starlink missions. After stage separation, the booster landed on the Just Read the Instructions drone ship in the Atlantic Ocean.
And what about the Starlink satellites?
SpaceX also launched another batch of Starlink satellites. The Falcon 9 rocket, carrying 23 satellites, lifted off from Space Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. The first stage booster for this mission had supported 18 other missions, including Crew 3, Crew 4, 8 Starlink missions, and EUTELSAT Hotbird 13G. It landed on the A Shortfall of Gravitas drone ship in the Atlantic Ocean after stage separation.
What does this mean for SpaceX's track record?
This occasion marked 260 reflights of Falcon boosters since the first one 7 years ago, according to SpaceX. It also marked the 18th launch and landing for this booster and the 290th Falcon landing overall. This is a significant milestone for SpaceX and a testament to the reliability and reusability of their Falcon boosters.
What's next for SpaceX? Are there any upcoming missions we should be aware of?
SpaceX is always planning ahead, but specific details about upcoming missions are usually announced closer to the launch dates. However, we can expect more Starlink satellite launches as SpaceX continues to build its broadband internet network. We'll also likely see more missions involving Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy rockets, given their proven track record.
Thanks for joining us, Bella. Now, let's shift gears from space exploration to the world of gaming. The first commercially available computer game, Computer Space, is a rare sight in 2024. This 1971 arcade game, created by Nolan Bushnell and Ted Dabney, who later founded Atari, was a unique fiberglass cabinet containing a version of the mini-computer game Space War. Today, we're discussing a new build of a computer space cabinet, not in fiberglass, but 3D-printed plastic. Here to delve into this is James, a correspondent for Simply Space. Can you tell us more about this new build?
Certainly, David. This project is the work of Richard Horn. He's essentially recreating the computer space cabinet using 3D printing technology. Since there are no real machines to scan or measure, he's working from photographs of real machines, estimating dimensions by comparing them to other cabinets, such as Pong, that appear alongside them.
That sounds like a meticulous process. How accurate is the recreation?
The result is quite impressive. It's about as faithful a model of the cabinet as could be made. The design is then cut into the many pieces required for 3D printing before being carefully assembled.
And what's the significance of this project?
Well, with only 1,500 units of computer space ever produced, and none to be found in the UK, this project is a way of preserving a piece of gaming history. It's a testament to the power of modern technology to recreate and preserve artifacts from the past.
So what's next for this project?
This is just the first in a series. We can expect to see a complete and working computer space cabinet take shape as the project progresses. It's definitely something for gaming and space enthusiasts to keep an eye on.
From the fascinating blend of past and future in space exploration, we now move to a unique blend of art, music, food, and agriculture in Rapid City, South Dakota. The Diamond E Collective incorporates a restaurant, an art gallery, a music venue, and a community-supported agriculture program. Here to discuss this further is Michael, a correspondent for Simply Space. Can you tell us more about the Diamond E Collective and its purpose?
Certainly, David. The Diamond E Collective is a multifaceted space aiming to provide a platform that enables producers and consumers to connect more efficiently and beneficially. This connection is fostered both in terms of retail and wholesale. The venue offers year-round access to a menu featuring locally produced agricultural goods such as eggs, milk, and meat.
That sounds like a unique concept. But it's not just about food, is it?
No, it's not. In addition to the restaurant, the venue also hosts local art exhibitions and live music events. It's a space where fine cuisine meets fine art. The idea is to create a vibrant creative hub that celebrates local talent in various fields.
And I understand there's also a commercial kitchen available for lease?
Yes, that's correct. The venue has a commercial kitchen that local caterers and vendors can lease. The owner of the Diamond E Collective, Cindy Tolley, has mentioned that there are already a variety of pop-up chefs who are eager to lease the kitchen and the space.
What about the agricultural aspect of the collective? Are there any specific guidelines for the producers?
Yes, there are. Tola requires that all producers joining the collective follow specific guidelines. These include using non-GMO seeds and avoiding pesticides and herbicides. The aim is to promote sustainable and healthy agricultural practices.
It certainly sounds like an interesting concept. It will be intriguing to see how this blend of art, music, food, and agriculture is received by the community. Thanks for that report, Michael. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Space. We'll see you back here tomorrow.